Good morning. Welcome to the Portland City Council. We're glad you're all here. Today is Wednesday. It's 9:30 a.m., June 10th, 2009. This is the morning session of the Portland City Council. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Could you please read the title for communications item 780?
Request of Lisa Lee Iacuzzi, not a good queer, to address council regarding heterosexism and the Portland police.
I don't think Lisa Lee is here, so we'll move on. Can you please read the council calendar communications item 781?
Request of Gordy Molitor to address council regarding proclamation awarded to Green Empowerment.
Gordy. Okay. I'm out of it today, obviously. Good morning. Nice to see you again.
Good morning.
Welcome to the City Council. For all of these items, it's very simple. You got 3 minutes, and you only need to give us your first and last name, and on that big hunk of wood in front of you is a countdown clock.
I see it. Okay, go. My name is Gordy Molitor, and I'm the Executive Director of Green Empowerment. I requested to speak to the council today on behalf of Green Empowerment's board, its partners, and many supporters to thank the City Council for its recognition of our efforts and its proclamation recognizing Green Empowerment's accomplishments as an embodiment of the city's international spirit and focus on sustainability in bringing health and well-being to thousands of people in the developing countries through renewable energy and water systems. Also with me here today is Susan Anderson, who you all know. Is the planning director for the city and is a board member for Green Empowerment. David Van Tuff from the governor's office, the advisor on sustainability, couldn't make it. But Dean McCarger is here. He's the head of the McCarger Foundation, which has funded one of the projects that was awarded, given the award. And John Reuter is a professor of environmental studies at Portland State University and is instrumental in bringing students and faculty to a number of our projects in Nicaragua. Also, I don't know if Doris Rodriguez-Platt was able to make it back from Corvallis, but the owner of the Andina restaurant for the past 4 years has sponsored a very delicious fundraising dinner for Green Empowerment's work in Peru. We're proud to be part of Portland's international image and sustainable focus. Portland was one of the first cities in the country to develop a local energy policy and has an increasing image as a center of sustainable transportation, business, and non-government organizations. Portland has a number of businesses that are in the forefront of sustainable issues in the city, the country, and internationally. Green Empowerment is committed to combating energy poverty and is proud of our contribution to Portland's sustainable image. Portland has an image also as a center of international transportation, business, and as a in the community of international non-government organizations. You're the home of Mercy Corps, Medical Teams International, and Portland's third largest international NGO, Green Empowerment. This international image is increasing in depth in both your business community and in non-government organizations, as you can see here today, and the many other small non-government organizations, and by the number of donors and board members involved in Green Empowerment's international efforts. These people are leaders among many hundreds of other Portlanders with similar international interests. So I'd just like to say that we've been involved in Portland for 11 years, working in renewable energy and water systems, and that we received the international award for three of our projects in Nicaragua, in Peru, and on the Thai-Burma border. So in conclusion, I've got 9 seconds. Thank you very much for the city's recognition of Green Empowerment's accomplishments as the embodiment of the city's international spirit and focus on sustainability. And finally, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Dean McCarger, Doris Rodriguez-Platt, Susan Anderson, and David Van Tuff, and many other donors and board members for supporting Green Empowerment. Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
How does our efforts to make Portland the hub of the clean technology revolution, how might that help your efforts?
I see the two being synergistic. I think as Portland becomes more involved in sustainable issues nationally and internationally, they'll have a higher image in those areas, and that we can couple with them to help increase their image and help to expand their market. For example, we will be partnering with SolarWorld from Hillsboro and Pinpoint Logic, a software company here based in Portland, and several other businesses to do a fundraising event later in the year. We've partnered with businesses in California to do projects in Nicaragua, and a partner with a business in Washington to do a project in the Philippines. It helps their image, and it helps them to expand their market.
And what's your URL, your website address for more information?
www.greenempowerment.org.
Thank you for all that you do, and thanks for taking time. Happy to have proclaimed a recognition for Green Empowerment's work around the world based out of here in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Carla, could you please read the Communications Council item 782?
Request of Michael T. Murphy to address Council regarding sit-lie and money for nonprofits drug court.
Mr. Murphy? Didn't I see him? Is he not here? Mm-hmm. All right. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Communications Item 783?
Request of Patrick Nolan to address Council regarding sit-lie and homelessness.
Good morning, Mr. Nolan. Welcome. Glad to see you here. I think you know the protocols.
Hi, my name is Patrick. I'm here representing Soapbox Under the Bridge. Which we can be reached at soapboxunderthebridge@gmail.com, just to get that out of the way now.
Good.
I had a speech last night that I wrote, and it was about 3 minutes, 30 seconds long, and that was too long. And I really didn't – I thought about it this morning, and it wasn't what I wanted to come talk about. I've been coming here talking to you guys about sit-lie since before I worked at the last nonprofit I worked at. And I don't know. It just kind of occurred to me this morning that I've expended a lot of effort, and I'm not really sure I've seen much. We haven't gotten anywhere. And I kind of wonder what I should be doing about this. We had great talk about a resource access center, and we haven't got that, but it's still illegal for people to sit on the sidewalks. We have all of our large bulk of our service providers in the downtown core of Portland, and yet the people coming to visit those when they're not sitting waiting particularly at that service can't sit on the sidewalk to wait for a service in the downtown core. We have about 1,600 people that sleep outside every night, and yet we make it illegal for people to sleep on the sidewalk. I fully respect, you know, extending this law to find people, you know, find more voices around it. Well, no, I fully respect finding more voices around this law, but I don't see a reason to extend the sit-lie law. I don't see a reason to have an anti-camping law unless we are honestly searching for an end to homelessness. I recognize that the city can't do that by itself. I've offered to come in and help to help however I could to help find the money for those things. You know, I'm more than willing to write letters to senators and, you know, even the president, although that puts you on a list somewhere, so I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel frustrated, and not that I plan on leaving, but I think I just need to change my the way I'm doing things, and maybe look for other options. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan. Appreciate it. Carla, could you please read the title for Council Communications Item 784?
Request of Tobiah Tillman to address Council regarding sit-lie, dignity of humans, and abuse of authority.
Mr. Tillman? All right, that gets us to time certain. Can you please read the title for the 9:30 time certain, Council Calendar Item 785?
Mayor, are we going to do the consent agenda first?
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm glad someone's paying attention up here. I'm not. Any items that anyone would like to pull from the consent agenda? I understand that 797, 798, 799, Commissioner Salzman wishes to pull. Is that correct? Or somebody does?
All three. 799. Yes.
Okay. Any other items on the consent agenda that anyone wishes to pull? Hearing none. Carla, can you please call the roll for the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda approved. Now, would you please read the time certain, item 785.
Proclaim June 10th through 19, 2009, as Reuse Week in Portland.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We are celebrating Reuse Week this week, and we have a brief presentation on this important subject. And while I'm introducing it, I wonder if our good friend and colleague Jeff Kogan could come to the podium. And I'll tee it up, and Jeff is going to start, and then we're going to hear from six trusted partners that are engaged in the hard work of reuse. Good morning to all, and it's a pleasure to join with my colleagues today to kick off the inaugural Reuse Week 2009. Before we begin, I'd like to thank a number of people, starting with Commissioner Jeff Kogan and his Chief of Staff, Marissa Madrigal, to Christy Wood from Community Warehouse, who really I think had the original idea and has been a great resource, to the Reuse Planning Committee, and to Carmen Rubio on my team for all the hard work. Several months ago, I had the pleasure of touring the Community Warehouse with Roz Babiner, who is the founder, and Christy Wood, the executive director. This amazing organization is one of the pioneers of the reuse movement. And reuse not only promotes sustainable communities and gives items a second life, but it also provides much-needed goods and materials to deserving families and teachers and artists and other community members. When we were doing our tour, naturally at the end we asked the question, you know, beyond some of the financial support that the city provides, what role can the city play to help enhance this growing cluster of important nonprofit reuse organizations? And Christy said we could help in three ways. She said we could raise awareness about how important reuse is to the entire community. She said we could encourage donations of goods and materials, and probably cash donations too, instead of selling them or throwing them out. And she said we could recognize some of the great organizations who are leading the way. Well, we thought about it, and we called Christy back and said, we can do that. So today, my colleague and friend Jeff Kogan, the mayor, and I are pleased to launch Reuse Week, which begins today and extends through Thursday, June 18th. We are doing this by highlighting remarkable local organizations that fulfill the promise of a thriving and sustainable community through the use of reuse of household goods, building materials, art and school supplies, computers, and much more. And we are hoping that by our action today, we will encourage the people of Portland, and in particular the employees of Multnomah County and the City of Portland, to make reuse part of their routine. Now, reusing items not only conserves scarce and precious natural resources and diverts a wide variety of materials from our waste stream, but it is also an invaluable tool in helping some of our most vulnerable citizens start a new life or enhance their life. Commissioner Kogan and I today are encouraging city and county employees, friends, and neighbors to support this great cause. And beginning today, my office and Jeff's office will be accepting items from city and county employees through Thursday, June 18th. And I brought with me today two items to kick it off. One is, I guess, a miniature crock pot, and the other one is a towel that we purchased from the Southwest Community Center, and we'll be donating both of these. And Jeff and I will be at the Community Warehouse headquarters on Friday with some other materials that we'll be donating. And we invite everyone in the community to join us on Friday, and we'll have more information about that soon. So before we hear from our reuse organizations and partners, I would like to invite my friend and colleague Jeff Kogan for any remarks he'd like to make. Jeff?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Mayor Adams, member of council. I'm Jeff Kogan from Multnomah County, and I'm here to enthusiastically support the partnership the city and the county have formed around Reuse Week. A couple months back, when Commissioner Fish approached me with this idea, I immediately knew it was a good one, because this actual cluster of businesses that's developed in Portland, kind of under the radar screen, but very significantly, really in many ways embodies the best of what this community is all about. The notion of reuse is, of course, one of the core components of sustainability: reduce, reuse, recycle. And these organizations have shown us that there are ways of reusing items, many of which people ordinarily hadn't thought of as reusable. And that's been a terrific advantage for us in terms of our pursuit of sustainability. It's equally significant that the items are then often given to people in need. And in this particular time in our community, in our country, we need to be as creative as possible in meeting the needs of vulnerable people in this community. And places like Community Warehouse, like Schoolhouse Supplies, that take goods that otherwise would be wasted and instead give them to people who otherwise wouldn't have access to them, are really terrific. And if, as you'll see on Friday when we're at Community Warehouse, things like mattresses that might be spare, within a week or two, they're able to give them to people who might have just weeks before been homeless and really make a difference in their lives. The other thing that this emerging cluster of reuse-oriented businesses does that hasn't gotten wide acclaim is that they're creating family wage jobs in this community, family wage jobs that are not going to be exported to another country and that are being created in a way that is completely consistent with the values that we hold dear in this community. So this is a partnership I'm really proud to be part of. We have a friendly competition going between the city and the county in terms of our employees and how much we can donate, but it's a competition that regardless of who wins, the whole community wins. So thank you, Commissioner Fish, for the idea. We're very happy to be partnering with you.
Thank you, Jeff, very much. And I'd like at this point to ask the following organizations and their representatives to come forward. I'm going to ask each of you to identify yourself. Community Warehouse, Scrap, Habitat, Restore, Free Geek, the Rebuilding Center, and Schoolhouse Supplies. And why don't you all come up together? We'll get a couple of extra chairs. And before we kick this off, I will quickly read the proclamation into the record, and the mayor will be presenting you with an original at the conclusion of your presentation. Whereas the City of Portland and Multnomah County encourage and support programs and initiatives that serve members of our community by incorporating principles of sustainability and environmental responsibility, and whereas reuse conserves scarce and precious natural resources, diverts a wide variety of materials from the waste stream, and gives new life to goods and materials, and whereas reuse is an invaluable tool in helping some of our most vulnerable residents improve their lives, and whereas Portland was recently named America's third least wasteful city in a national study, and whereas Community Warehouse, Free Geek, the Rebuilding Center, Scrap, Schoolhouse Supplies, and Habitat Restore all share the common values of reuse, sustainability, and building community, and whereas these organizations annually divert tens of thousands of pounds of waste from landfills, refurbished more than 15,000 computers, and have provided $10.5 million worth of supplies to local schools since 1999. And whereas these community partners, together with the Portland City Council and Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, will work to promote the value of reuse in our community and increase its understanding and practice in Portland and Multnomah County. Now, therefore, this is where I get to stand in for our mayor. I, Sam Adams, mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim June 10th through 19th, 2009, as Reuse Week in Portland, and encourage all residents to observe this week. Welcome, and would you like to kick us off?
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Kogan, for all of your help and for your support staff. Carmen Rubio and Marissa Madrigal have really helped us put this whole thing together. I'm Roz Babiner. I'm one of the founders and the board chair of Community Warehouse. We ask for donations of essential furniture and household items, and we work directly with over 100 different social service agencies, including county agencies, and many of the agencies that the city of Portland works with to help with the 10-year plan to end homelessness. And we put a bed into the apartment of people who are sleeping on the floor. We give families a kitchen table so they can sit down and eat together. We give them the pots and pans so that they can fix a meal. We help them to feel like they actually they're in a home and somebody cares about them, and it just helps them to move forward in their lives. We really appreciate this Reuse Week because it draws attention from all the employees of the city, all the employees of the county, to the fact that we exist and we need your donations. For example, I was up at OHSU at the farmers market yesterday with a booth, and I talked directly with over 200, 250 people. I would say one in 15 even had heard of Community Warehouse. And I did speak to a number of people who actually use us from OHSU, but people don't know that we exist. And when they find out that we're just asking for their extra silverware and their pots and pans and their alarm clock, and that we give these things directly to families in need, it makes a lot of sense to them. And the fact that we have a truck that'll come out and pick up, what we really want people to know are these things, especially twin beds. You know, every twin bed that comes into the warehouse, it's gone in a few days. It doesn't take us 2 weeks for a twin bed to leave Community Warehouse. It doesn't take 2 weeks for a pot or a pan to leave Community Warehouse. We have case managers coming in 60 households a week that are they don't have things. They're not coming in asking us for a matching set of silverware. They're just coming in to get the things that are very basic to help them move forward in their lives. And this Reuse Week just draws attention to the fact that there is a place for all of these things that people don't need. They don't need it in their homes. So we really appreciate this proclamation, and we know that we're going to have lots of people coming in to our warehouse in the coming week. And what it also does for us is it draws attention to us so that maybe six months down the road, when somebody from the city of Portland buys a new kitchen table, their old one will come into the warehouse. So thank you very much.
Oz, thank you very much, sir.
Good morning. I'm Joe Connell from the Habitat for Humanity Restore. Everywhere I go, people know about Habitat for Humanity. One of the top names in the world. We're worldwide. It's a wonderful, amazing organization that everybody, and I know all of you, are aware of the work we do here in this city. But like these other organizations here, awareness about our restore is a key factor for us. I think 1 in 15 is pretty good. I think they're more popular than we are, more well-known. The Restore has been in this community for 8 years. We do it for three reasons. We have a threefold mission. One is for reuse, and we take building materials, appliances, all that kind of stuff, resell it in our store just like everybody here does. As a revenue stream for Habitat for Humanity. That's where we're a little different. We use very few staff, an amazing amount of volunteers, and we always need more. And we do this as a fundraiser for Habitat. Right now, we're averaging about $100,000 a year that we're raising through this program to build homes in this community for families in need. So that's a wonderful twofold mission there. The other purpose that we're active is to supply families, lower-income families, with low-cost items. And again, that's something we all share here. The other thing I wanted to thank you all for is for supporting our grant from the DEQ. We received this week, I just got word yesterday that it's all the paperwork's done, $50,000 grant from DEQ. That you all supported and signed off on last month. So thank you for that. That money is dedicated towards reaching out to businesses about the waste of materials from retailers, distributors, and manufacturers. Brand new product. A lot of these organizations here, we've all done wonderful work with the reuse of old products. We want to start targeting new products still in the package. The waste stream is full of that product. So businesses out there, please check us out. Keep us in mind. And we're at www.pdxrestore.org. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And on that point, I'd encourage you to go to MayorSam.com and log into the emerging draft climate action plan that speaks to that. We'd really appreciate sort of getting you getting behind that element of the plan.
Will do. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tom Petskowski. I'm with the Rebuilding Center of Our United Villages. We're located at 3625 North Mississippi in Portland, Fremont, and Mississippi. Our website, www.rebuildingcenter.org. How many of you have been or heard of the Rebuilding Center before? Quite a few of you. Hopefully more will be coming in the future. We reuse and find homes for about 8 tons of materials a day, so we're actually one of the largest of its type in North America. We're open to the public 7 days a week, and we keep our prices between 10 and 50 cents on the retail dollar to keep it affordable for everyone in the community. We fill about 3 to 5 flatbeds a day full of materials coming in. We have a free pickup service that goes out throughout the region to pick up materials. And we accept things based on their reusability, not just on their retail value. It's whether we can find a home for it. And so that's how we have such a wide variety of materials coming through on a daily basis. And, of course, there's a history to those materials. It's neat to see that piece of trim that's been marked as the child grows. You know, it's the thinking of those sinks that people have used for those years and or cabinets that people have kept clean and shouldn't be thrown away, should be kept going. And then also we have a deconstruction crews that dismantle houses by hand. So in that case, we can reuse up to 85% of the material. And then because we're hand deconstructing, we can recycle much of the remaining material. And so it's a very sustainable way of taking apart structures. And we also create handcrafted materials from these reusable materials, everything from tables and furniture to other household items. And we just celebrated our 11th anniversary. Very excited, and hopefully we'll keep going. Thank you for the support of the commissioners and as well as the mayor and the entire city to keep us going. It feels like we're part of the fabric, and we just want to keep going with that. And also, I'd like to invite you all to a tour. Can I give you guys some cards?
Sure. You can just give them to Carl over there. She'll distribute them later. Thank you for your
testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Down here.
Hi, I'm Bo Bullock. I'm with Schoolhouse Supplies, and we operate a free store with volunteers for teachers. We collect brand new and gently used school supplies, art supplies, office supplies, but believe that all children deserve basic tools to succeed in school, and we do what we can to make sure that they have those. Our primary way of bringing in school supplies are through our supply drives. You may have seen our collection barrels at different businesses around town. So that's my little plug, is we have our KGW school supply drive coming up in August. We're trying to bring in as many new school supplies for the beginning of the year when classrooms need those materials the most. So any business can do it, but other ways that we bring in donations are through office reuse. So if you have a ton of staplers or tape dispensers, rubber bands, post-it notes, those type of things that are in good condition, rather than seeing those go to the landfill, the waste stream, can give them some new life in classrooms. Pretty much we can accept anything that would be useful in a classroom. Lots of materials that you wouldn't be able to find in a regular retail store. Our teachers are very creative, and sometimes that's the very thing that they're looking for, is that random material for a certain project. So we also run a Tools for Schools program where we have different businesses in the community can sponsor schools, provide every kid in that school with a backpack full of supplies so that nobody's left out and they have everything they need on the first day of school.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Dave Haskins, and I'm here representing Free Geek. Free Geek's Portland's Community Technology Center. We take youth technology, and with the help of around 900 active volunteers, we provide really great computers free of charge to folks. Also, we provide free education and job training skills in exchange for community service. Anything that we can't use, we make sure gets recycled in the highest green standards possible. Last year, we recycled over 590 tons of e-waste. But we think of ourselves primarily as a reuse organization. There are lots of computers out there that we think are in great shape. They just need a little TLC, and we can get them right back out there. In 2008, we gave away over 1,200 computers free of any charge. And so far in 2009, we've already given away, we're not even 6 months into 2009, and we've already given away over 900 computers free of charge. And a large part of this is really thanks to you. The city last November partnered with FreeGeek so we could provide the city's computers to those who need it the most. And I'm really happy to be here to be able to talk because I think a lot of people, like some other people have mentioned, haven't heard about FreeGeek and our resources. I don't think that not-for-profits that are starting in Portland should be paying for new computers. We have computers for you, and we have them for free, and we want to give them to you. We want you to be able to use your money not in IT technology. We want you to be using your money for your programs, for your staff, and to further your mission. And if you need technology and you're a not-for-profit in the Portland area, go to our website, freegeek.org, and we have a little hardware grants link, a little web form you just need to fill out, and we'll get right back to you. We also operate a little thrift store at our location in 1731 Southeast 10th, and you can go there and get things like a cable that would cost you $12 for 25 cents, and also computers and monitors and little gadgets. But just want to thank you all for having us.
Thank you.
Great to be able to talk.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Kogan, Mayor Adams, and the Council of Commissioners. I'm Kelly Carmichael Casey, and I'm the Executive Director of SCRAP. Thank you for your leadership in proclaiming Reuse Week. SCRAP is leading the way in the creative reuse movement. Only in Portland could such an idea as gathering still usable art supplies and selling them on the cheap have emerged. SCRAP inspires creative reuse and sustainable behavior by offering education programs and affordable materials to the community. We take donations of materials that can be used in creative projects, from people who are cleaning out their craft closets to corporations who have unused materials and supplies, manufacturers with cast-offs, architectural design samples, printer overruns, and other sources of usable creative and craft supplies. We're proud that we divert more than 65,000 pounds of material from the landfill, educate and inspire more than 25,000 children and adults about the benefits of creative reuse every year. We're confident that by joining with these fine organizations and with the support of the city and raising awareness through Reuse Week, we can transform the way that our community thinks about consumption and waste. Please come visit us. Commissioner Fritz was kind enough to help us launch our new location at MLK in Stanton, and more information is available at scrapaction.org.
I have to say, the last time I was at SCRAP picking up stuff from my kids, I was shocked to see a Randy Leonard lawn sign that was for sale. And I was tempted to buy one, but there was a little friction in the family, so I held off. But I just want to say it seems like we recycle everything in our community. So we're going to come forward and take a picture with you in 1 second. And before we do that, would each of you just quickly, again, tell us your address and your website, starting with Community Warehouse?
Community Warehouse is communitywarehouse.org. And we're on 2267 North Interstate. We're right at the intersection of Albina and Interstate where the MAX train stops.
Habitat Restore, 66 Southeast Morrison Street, right under the Morrison Street Bridge. Don't Google it or you will land on top of the bridge. We're under the bridge. Our website is www.pdxrestore.org.
The Rebuilding Center, www.rebuildingcenter.org. Address 3625 North Mississippi, Portland 97227, the corner of Fremont and Mississippi in North Portland.
Schoolhouse Supplies is below the gymnasium of Madison High School, 2735 Northeast 82nd Avenue, and our web address is www.schoolhousesupplies.org.
FreeGeek is located at 1731 Southeast 10th. We're just a couple blocks south of Hawthorne between Market and Mill. Our website is freegeek.org.
And Scrap is at 2915 Northeast MLK, the corner of MLK and Stanton, and we're at scrapaction.org.
So we have a proclamation from the mayor for each of you. The council will join you up front. We'll get a picture here. Jeff, would you join us? All right, that brings us to the 10 o'clock time certain and the companion. We have a purchasing report and a companion ordinance. So, Carla, would you mind reading the time certain council calendar item 786 and also council calendar item 787?
Mm-hmm. 786, accept the bid of Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. for the Advanced Utility Water Main Phase 1 Construction Services contract for $6,636,265 to initiate construction of the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. Item 787, adopt the Portland Streetcar Loop Capital Budget and Finance Plan, authorize a contract with Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc., and provide for payment for the Advanced Utility Water Main Work Phase 1 Construction Services contract for $6,636,265 and other actions to initiate construction of the Portland Streetcar Loop Project.
Well, after lobbying for only 2 years, but seemed like 12, I'm pleased to have this purchasing report and this ordinance in front of the City Council for their consideration, because it signals that we are moving forward with the East Side Streetcar and joining both sides of the river, getting very close to joining both sides of the river with a streetcar loop. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood had an opportunity to meet with them and a few other mayors about 3 months ago, hinted that there might be a positive announcement. Indeed, there was on April 30th, coming from the Small Starts Fund. This is the first streetcar project being funded out of the Small Starts Fund, and that is significant and ironic at the same time, because the Small Starts Fund out of the Federal Transit Administration was created by Congressman Earl Blumenauer with the intent of bus rapid transit being possible for funding out of this fund, but also streetcar. The fact that this is 2 years later is the only streetcar, but hopefully not the last streetcar project in the United States being funded out of Small Starts is significant. A lot of people to thank. I'll mention a few. Rick Gustafson, Carter McNichols, the URS Corporation, Stacey Whitbeck, Richard Branham, and the Metro team, Fred Hansen and Neil McFarland at TriMet, the folks sitting in front of you, the great transportation team headed up by Sue Keel, also in my office, Shoshana Oppenheim, Michael Powell, who we're going to hear from, Vern Reifer, and Dick Davis, who we'll hear from as well. But the folks that made it happen back in D.C., Representatives Orr Blumenauer, Peter DeFazio, Representatives Schrader, Wu, Senators Wyden and Merkley, they helped make it happen. Senator Merkley deserves special consideration because, as Speaker, he also made it possible to get $20 million from lottery-backed bonds that will buy the 6 cars needed to service this new route. That's important because it follows on a partnership with Peter DeFazio to not just build a new leg of the streetcar, but to build a new streetcar manufacturing industry locally. Last week, Oregon Ironworks, which is our partner in that effort, received tentative word, initial word, from the city of Tucson that they had been selected for manufacturing Tucson streetcars in addition to R6. So our nascent modern streetcar manufacturing industry is getting off the ground, and that is great news for all of us. The council consideration of these items means that 90 new jobs at Oregon Ironworks will be created, and the potential for 100 new jobs in this phase of the streetcar work. You're going to hear the details, but I also want to be upfront that the delay, the federal delay in approving our request for funds, does put a strain on this budget. And the cost of delay was $500,000 a month. We've ameliorated that to the degree that we kept planning going. And so council, and I appreciate their support, joined with me in sort of taking a calculated risk and continuing the planning. So if we did get approved, we wouldn't be that much further behind. But the delay does put a stress on this budget, and we're going to have to be very careful moving forward in making sure that all of our efforts at value engineering are really, really thorough. So with that, Vicki?
Actually, Jeff first.
Jeff. Mr. Bear.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of City Council. For the record, I'm Jeff Bear with the Bureau of Purchases. I'll just be brief in my remarks. I'm just kind of going backwards a bit on where we started. Back in October 2008, the council approved an exemption to the traditional low bid process, and we therefore went forward with a competitive request for proposal process using the alternative contracting method of selecting a construction manager general contractor. We did the selection process. We evaluated the responses. We are here before you requesting approval to execute the contract with Stacy Whitbeck. This is a multi-phase project that I'm sure Vicki will go into the details on. Just some highlights in terms of the subcontract plan. We're still working with them to develop, to finalize that, but they have indicated as subcontract opportunities about 12.8% under the DBE program, which is required because of the DOT funding related to the federal funding stream associated with that. So with that, I'll just stop here and turn it over to Vicki. Thank you.
Ms. Deedy.
What's DBE?
DBE stands for Disadvantaged Business Enterprise.
And it's a specific required approach to minority women and emerging small business contract, and it's a specific approach required by federal government when you get federal funding.
And what's the percentage that's required?
We operate under the umbrella of TriMet's DBE program since the city doesn't have one, and they have no firm goals, and they're not even able to assert aspirational goals because, I believe, of a federal court case. But that doesn't stop everybody from putting lots of pressure on people to make sure that we have as much participation as possible.
So in your report, you had that there's agreed upon subcontracting goals. What are those agreed upon subcontracting
goals? What Stacy Whitbeck has agreed to is a 12.8% participation for DBE and a 5.1% for minority women and emerging small business.
For the water work.
And we can't do better than that?
Not for this particular contract. This is a small contract. I'll go through the different phases of the contract, and you can see that the big one comes up in September. And both TriMet and the city will be working with Stacy and Whitbeck to make sure that we've got good participation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our general aspirational goals on all this federal stimulus work for MW and ESB is 35%. So that's what we're aiming for. This is just a piece of it, and it's an area that, you know, frankly, we've struggled with because of the availability of certified contracting firms to qualify to bid on this contract.
Okay. Let me back up a minute. For the record, I'm Vicki Deedy with the Bureau of Transportation, and I am the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. What I'd like to do today is, first of all, update you on of where we are with the Federal Transit Administration. You may recall that TriMet will be the grant recipient for the Small Start funds, and the city, through an intergovernmental agreement with TriMet, will be named as the recipient, and the funds will be dispersed to us through TriMet. So after the award was announced on April 30th, the FTA almost immediately contacted TriMet and asked that the project construction grant agreement application be submitted to them by May 13th, which was just, a couple of weeks after that time and lots of work. But working with TriMet, who has been absolutely fabulous to us, and they've been extremely helpful, the application was sent to them on that date. We're now having weekly conference calls with the Federal Transit Administration regional staff from Seattle and their staff from the District of Columbia, one to review information and to provide any needed clarifications or new information that they've suddenly discovered that they need. But the roadmap that the FTA has laid out shows that we will have an approval letter for the construction grant agreement in mid-September. And now that they are paying really constructive attention to the project, our approach is to do everything possible to make sure that we
aren't
are not
too politically correct. Yes. Now that they're, what was the phrase?
Now that they are paying constructive attention to the project.
Well said. Well said.
Our approach is we're doing everything possible to make sure that we are not seen as any sort of impediment to meeting the goals of that roadmap. So I'll turn on now to the ordinance. There are several things I'd like to highlight. One is the 75% capital budget and finance plan. Two is the phasing of the construction contracts. And three is a kind of a preview of the upcoming actions that will be needed to keep the project moving. We have completed the 75% design effort and have developed both soft costs and construction costs for the project. Stacy Whitbeck has provided input on the construction costs under the pre-construction services contract that they're working on now. In order to most efficiently schedule the work and to deal with long lead items, we are bidding and awarding the work in four phases. The first phase is the water main work that is before you now, with a contractual cost for that work is based on the full competitive bidding that Stacy Whitbeck undertook, and it is that contract that is in front of you today. This will get water lines that are in direct conflict and other issues taken care of before we try to lay tracks in the street. The next phases of the work will be the advanced sewer and sanitary main work and the rail procurement packages, which will be back to council in probably about 4 to 6 weeks. The big contract, and those two total will probably be about $13 or $14 million. The big civil track work and electrical work contract, which is the main construction contract, will be back to council in September. And the cost estimate for these future phases are based on budgets provided to Stacy and Whitbeck by one or more subcontractors along with input from the design team. They're not hard bid yet, but that will be the next steps in putting these contract packages together. The finance plan has been reviewed with the Office of Management and Finance to validate that the $2 million that we are carrying in the budget for finance costs is sufficient, and they have indicated it is so. There are two other future council actions related to the construction of the Loop project, which are amendments to the contract with Portland Streetcar Inc. for project management and for design services during the construction phase, and an amendment with the to an IGA that we have with Multnomah County where we deal with the bridge issues. They own the bridges that we go under or across. All of those will be coming to council shortly. The really long lead item in this whole project, of course, is the procurement of the vehicles. And as the mayor mentioned, that through a, or it might have been Jeff, I'm not sure, but through an RFQ-RFP process, Oregon Iron Works was selected as the manufacturer. The final contract language currently is being reviewed by purchases, and as soon as that review is in place, we will bring the contract to council for approval. And then last but certainly not least, there is a need for three intergovernmental agreements that we need to enter into, which will provide the funding to the city to pay for the Loop project. And what we would like to do is to accelerate the access to these funds and would ask council to authorize the mayor and the auditor to accept the funds and enter into two of these IGAs. The first one will be with the state of Oregon for the dispersal of the lottery-backed bond proceeds. Word from the state is that contract is, or the IGA, is ready for signatures in Salem, and as soon as it's done, they'll ship it up to us. And then the second big one will be an IGA with TriMet for the dispersal of the federal Small Start funds. And we'd also like council direction to the for the director of the Bureau of Transportation to enter into an IGA with our funding partners at the Portland Development Commission. So what we're trying to set up is that the IGAs that will allow us the access to the funds, we would like to kind of have pre-authorization to allow the mayor and the auditor to sign those when they are presented to us and agreeable to the city attorney's office. So that we can have the money ready to go. But any of the IGAs or contracts that that will result in funds flowing from the city to another organization, all of those contracts will come back to the city for your approval. And I know it's a whole lot of information that got shoved into one ordinance, and I'm more than happy to answer any council's questions.
Greg, did you want to add anything?
One item.
Greg Jones?
Greg Jones with the Office of Transportation. In order to make this work, this is obviously a large project. I think our construction budget's around $105 million. The funds are not immediately available to us. So we want council to understand that in order to proceed, we are setting up a financing tool to allow us to move forward at this time rather than wait until the funds are available. We've done a cash flow analysis, and we believe that we need somewhere in the range of about a $20 million line of credit or borrowing, internal borrowing from within the city. So we're in the process right now of setting that up. So we just wanted you to be aware that that's a requirement in order to move forward with the sort of advanced pace that we're doing.
So that's a line of credit backed by the general fund?
At this point, we are first pursuing a inter-bureau loan program to see if it's possible to do it just internal to the city. If that's not possible, then we would move towards a line of credit, and that would require backing by the general fund.
What bureau would you be looking for?
I believe we're in discussions right now with the Water Bureau. Environmental Services.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of those guys.
Shut up now.
So we've had discussions with Eric Johansson, Ken Rust from Office of Management and Finance, and we're just continuing to work on this issue. It's going to take a couple weeks to get it set up.
And how much again? 50 million?
It's about a $20 million line of credit. And it would be, we would draw from it as needed.
I had some other questions about the budget. Are we in the right place to do that?
Sure.
Okay. So I see a line item for about $574,000 for community relations.
Yes.
We've talked a lot in our budget about the opportunity for using our own staff and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and our neighborhood coalitions to help do community relations work. Can some of this money be used those people?
What this anticipates is that there is through our contract with Portland Streetcar Inc., there is a community relations manager who has been working on the project with us from day one, from the planning. So they have developed the relationships with various property owners and business owners. And it's a very specific kind of relationship where in this case, it's a woman, and so she puts together schedules on our website, looking out 3 weeks. So it's very different than just basic community relations to make sure that everyone's fully aware of what's going on in the project.
Construction mitigation and advertising on behalf of businesses that are impacted.
Right. It's a lot of baking cookies, taking them out to people, a lot of that.
And $574,000? For what period of time?
It's about 2.5 years.
Seems like a pretty good contract.
Through there.
Has this been subject to competition?
It's through the Portland Streetcar Inc. thing. The $574,000 is not just for the construction period. That's the 2.5 year time frame. This budget goes back to our preliminary engineering efforts. So truly, it's been an effort since of about July of 2007. So by the time we're done, it'll be about 5 years.
Well, it seems like we've had this issue before around Portland Streetcar that that we give them money and then they can use our money not following sort of city procurement procedures.
Actually,
and that's kind of what's, this is an example of that, I'm assuming.
No, we went through a procurement process. When this became a federal project, we went through a procurement process that was approved by the feds, and it was competitive to choose the people that would be doing project management work through these various phases, and also the civil and design work. Through that process, Shields Oblitz Johnson was chosen, and URS Corporation was chosen. And then the RFPs and the contractual documents anticipated that we would assign those contracts to PSI so that we could continue to receive their oversight and the goodwill that they bring to the project. PSI didn't make money off of this. And the selection process was
I'm
competitive.
I'm not saying they're making money, but they're more or less given the ability to make decisions on subcontracts that aren't necessarily competitive.
But no, it was a competitive process to choose them. And all this, it was
for the community relations or for the civil and electrical? And
for all of the project management piece is kind of an umbrella for both the project management, for contract administration, for utility coordination, and for the community relations. So that was all a part of their RFP that came to us.
So just to try to make clear, the project did a request for proposals in which PSI was a respondent, but also gave an open field to anyone else to respond.
Not quite. The RFPs were to specific firms, project management firms, design firms. Shields Oblitz Johnson responded to the project management. URS responded to the civil design. But then, as I said, then the city, through the auspices of what was in the RFP and just because of our long-lasting good relationship, we assigned those contracts to PSI, but they were required to accept our competitive process, and they took on all of the responsibility for meeting the federal requirements.
Do you agree with that, Jeff?
I've not looked at those documents, so I don't know.
I guess I'd like more information on that.
We'd be happy to provide it to you.
Commissioner Fish, and then Commissioner
So,
Fritz.
Jeff, or whomever, can you remind me on the $17.5 million that comes out of the River District TIF, is that the current River District budget, or does that contemplate that the amendment is successful?
It is the current River District budget.
So that's budgeted regardless of the outcome of the appeal.
Right.
Thank you.
We have checked with PDC to confirm that those funds were available out of the current TIF budget for
the
district.
They were also budgeted in the current budget, not the amended budget?
In the current budget, it's in the five-year plan.
Commissioner, are you done? Sorry. Commissioner Fritz?
So to follow up on Commissioner Saltzman's point, and thank you for raising that, the contract that's before us today is the Stacey and Woodbeck Water Main under the street. Does the community relations contract come back to us at some point?
The amendments to the agreements with Portland Streetcar, Inc. will be coming up in the next 4 weeks or so.
Including
that line
piece,
item. Yes.
Because I think Commissioner Saltzman's point is well made, that in the interim, we have reorganized our budget and we are looking at funding community relations differently, particularly through some of the community partners that have not had ongoing funding that previously did.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could look at whether some pieces of that, and I agree that $574,000 seems like a lot, so if we could get some more information on how that's broken down, that would be
very
helpful.
Other council questions or comments? If we could have Michael Powell, Vern Reifer, and Dick Davis come forward. Good morning. Welcome to City Council.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Nice to be here.
Mr. Powell, would you like to begin as chair of the PSI board?
Thank you. Michael Powell, chair of PSI board, associated with PSI for many years.
It's a pleasure to be here this morning to move this project forward with your support. This is obviously a major day for the streetcar and for Portland to be able to begin the work necessary to double the size of the streetcar and increase what the rest of the country looks at with a certain amount of awe and respect as a iconic landmark for Portland. On July 20th, we'll celebrate our 8th anniversary.